I am a rules kind of person. I like rules. I like things to be orderly. I like everyone to play by the same rules. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. In ethics, that's called deontology, to have a rules-based ethic. Now, what kind of rules do children need? What? Clear ones? Somebody said strict. A lot of rules. Consistent rules. Yeah, that's why I have trouble training my dog. I'm not consistent. Dogs need clear-cut rules, too. They need very black and white rules, very clear. You know when you're breaking the rules or not, right, kids? Do your parents have rules? What are some rules in your house? Don't eat on the couch. Now, that is a very good rule. Why is that a good rule? Why is that a good rule? So the dog, okay. So you did not end up with rotting crackers in the between the things, so you don't mess up the couch. What's another rule at home? Rose, you got a rule at your house? A lot? Name one. No fighting. Oh, what a boring rule. Now, why would we have that rule? Max, what's the rule at your house? You can't bring your phones up to your room. Boy, that's a modern rule. Wow. Whoa. How about you? Name a rule at your house.
Don't leave the door open because the puppy could get out.
Okay, close the door behind you because the dog will get out. Right, that's a good rule. How about the Fitzgerald house? Do they have any rules at that house?
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, you spoke up. Name one. Oh, that's not a rule that applies to you. That's a rule that applies. Well, I guess it does because you let them up there. Yeah.
9 o'clock on a school night.
9 o'clock on a school night. Okay. Yeah. So some rules make a lot of sense. How about you drivers? What happens when two cars both arrive at an intersection at the same time and there's a stop sign on both corners? Who goes first? Person on the right. Why? Because that's the rule. So you don't need to know why. But if you think about it, if it's a person on the left, then this car has to wait until that one gets all the way through the intersection to go. If it's a person on the right, you can go just as soon as they're halfway across. So you could go actually a little faster. But the real reason is so that everybody does the same thing. And we all know what's happened. Which way do you pass the food around the table? From the left to the right. Some people might do it the other way. It doesn't really matter so long as it always goes the same way. Why? Brendan, why would we want to do it that way? Right, you might crash them in the middle, or this way you make sure a dish gets all the way around. Those are just good rules. How about rules at school? What are some school rules? Go ahead.
No cell phones in class.
Why?
Distraction.
Big distraction. Yep. What else?
No running in the halls.
Why? Safety issues. How about when we teach the little kids that when they want to speak, they have to raise their hand and be called upon, right? Why? Order. So otherwise you'd have chaos. You'd have everybody shouting at the same time. A lot of rules are just practical. Now, do the rules change as we get older? Yeah. Kevin, you said yes. What rule has changed for in your house as you've gotten older? He couldn't think of one. Did your bedtime change? Your mother says yes, but you weren't paying attention. World's changed. Would anybody think it was appropriate to give a three-year-old a box of matches or a lighter? Unfortunately, someone did. It was in the paper. He couldn't work the lighter, so it didn't matter. Nobody gives a three-year-old matches. On the other hand, Kevin, can you start the grill? Not yet. Brendan, can you start the grill? He can start the grill. So there's an age thing. At some point, we let our children play with fire. Now, I started a grill once and blew off my, it was a gas grill. I lost my eyelashes and my eyebrows because I did it backwards, you know. But anyway, when do you get to drive? Rose? 9 months after your 15th birthday, provided, do you have to pass the test first? Yeah, you know the basic rules of the road. And you, before you actually are given a permanent license, you have to show that you can drive, right? Now, this at the other end of life, we change the rules again. The rules change again as we get older. Because at some age, we have to take away people's keys because they're no longer safe to drive. Sometimes we just let driver's license lapse. That's what my mother did. But the point is that rules change as we mature. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, what is the earliest set of rules God gave us? Ten Commandments. There were rules before this, but set of rules was the Ten Commandments. And we consider these really important. Do you know that according to Exodus, when Moses goes up to the mountain, God writes these rules on tablets with God's finger? That would make them really, really important. Now, I don't know if these were the tablets that Moses broke, and he had the second ones, right. That's Moses up there. He's got the two tablets with the 10 laws, 10 commandments. So, no wonder if God wrote them with God's own hand, the finger of God. They're pretty important. We consider important. Now, how many of you keep all 10? Probably nobody. Nobody. But do you think they're all equal? Now, let me ask another question. How many are they equally important? Or do you think they're all the same of equal importance? I tend to think we value some more than others. How many of us work on the Sabbath? Yeah, it's kind of my job. So I try to take a Sabbath day on a different day. But we work on the Sabbath, although most of us, or many of us, can remember blue laws when you were not allowed to. Retail, at least, was not allowed to take place on Sundays. How many of you have ever, you don't have to answer this question, it's separate to yourself, have ever stolen from the boss? Have done personal email on company time? Have walked off with a pen or paper clips? Yeah, no big deal, right? It's stealing. Thou shalt not steal. We covet. We desire things that belong to our neighbors, like that shiny new car or that cute young husband or whatever it is that appeals to us. We covet. And every last person in this room has told lies. Some of us only tell white lies. Hope Hicks. But anyway, the white lies are the lies we tell to spare somebody's feelings. Like, no, you haven't gained weight. Or you look just as beautiful as you were the day I married you. Well, that may be true at one level. But physically, you know, we tell white lies all the time. But we also tell lies to protect other people. You know the famous scenario, the Nazis come and knock on your door and ask you, are there any Jews in your house? Is it okay to lie and say no, even if you've got them up in the attic? That's a favorite ethical question. We tell lies sometimes to protect other people. But the most of the time, why do we tell lies? Exactly, to protect ourselves. You know, they may be serious lies or they may not be. I suspect those people who are most adamant about displaying the Ten Commandments, public places, don't keep them very well. But as someone said, I think maybe it was Claudia, they are a goal, and they provide a really good goal for us to aspire to. Well, the prophets of Israel had a lot to say about God's laws, and they never suggested that you shouldn't keep the laws or the rules. Shouldn't keep them. In fact, they said they were so important that they developed a whole series of little rules that would keep you from breaking the big rules. It was called building a fence around the Torah. We've heard about that on the Sunday program. They were moving us. Well, that was one way of just simply protecting you from breaking God's big laws. But they also moved us towards beyond the behavioral rules, the rules of things that you do and don't do, towards inner rules or attitudinal rules. And this was an important movement, and it started in the time of the prophets. Jesus didn't start it. It started in the time of the prophets. They recognized that you might never kill somebody, but if you hold anger in your heart, you're damaging yourself. And maybe the other person, not more likely to damage yourself. So you're still hurting somebody. So you shouldn't hold anger in your heart. Jesus followed this tradition. Jesus said, thank you, Jimmy Carter, for making this famous across the country, that when you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you're already committing adultery. Well, he was an honest man. He said he had committed adultery in his heart. He had looked at a woman with lust. Well, it may not be as bad for the other person, but it's bad for you. So it's moving us towards something that is known as virtue ethics. This is the label put from deontology or deontological ethics to virtue ethics. Rules-based to character-based, for lack of a better word. If you raise up a child as somebody who's compassionate, understanding, empathetic, then they're very likely to act as adults in virtuous ways. So, when we're raising up our children, we start with black and white rules, right? And then somewhere along the line, when we get tired of hearing the why questions, we start explaining why those rules apply, hoping to build understanding. And in the end, you don't hit somebody, not because your mother tells you not to hit somebody, because you have understood that you wouldn't want to be hit, and hitting people hurts people. So you stop fighting because it hurts everybody. It builds it into our character. So when somebody comes up to Jesus and says, what's the biggest rule, the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's virtue ethics in a nutshell. It's not a list of commandments or rules. It's a way of living your life. Which brings me to today's gospel. I find this story of the cleansing of the temple to be one of the most difficult of Jesus. I don't like it. Here is Jesus who is supposed to be this great spiritual teacher who has all calm, is at peace with the world, who is perfectly good, who goes in and makes a whip out of cords and starts having a temper tantrum in the temple, driving out beasts and turning over tables of money so that anybody can have it. He's very destructive. This is not the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, I learned about in Sunday school. I don't like it. It doesn't sit well with me. But it's there in the gospel. It's in John at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as the last straw near the end of Jesus' ministry that turns the religious and political leaders against him. How are we to understand this episode? Isn't Jesus breaking a whole bunch of rules here? Well, I think maybe the way to see it, there's two possible ways. One, he just had a temper tantrum. I don't think that sets well with many people. Another, he was angry because the spirit of God's law was being broken. You had to have money changers in the temple because the common coin of the Roman Empire had whose picture on it? Caesar's. And you could not worship God with a coin that had Caesar's image on it. It would be idolatry. So there had to be money changers. Likewise, they had to be animal sellers. If you had come from the far reaches of Galilee to make a sacrifice at the temple, it was really hard to carry your animal all the way. So you would buy one on the spot. Well, unfortunately, both of these practices wound up being corrupt. The money changers were overcharging, giving you a bad rate of exchange, cheating you. The animal sellers would take a look at the animal you bought and said, oh no, look, there's a freckle down here. You have to buy one of ours. And then they'd turn around and sell that one to the next person who comes along. They were abusing it. They were abusing the poor. They were taking advantage. So they had corrupted the worship system. Jesus wasn't mad at the temple. He wasn't going against temple worship. He was going against corruption of temple worship. In other words, he was striking a blow for virtue ethics, if you will. Rules are very, very important. The Ten Commandments are important. But even more important than the rules are the character and virtues that underlie them. And what Jesus calls us to in today's gospel is to attend to that underlying character and develop the virtues that make us better people. That's why we're here. It's why we do church, to help develop the virtues that make us righteous and virtuous people. Amen.